All right. Welcome to Coffee with Marcus and Mark, the number one stock market show on Spotify and one of the most popular market updates on YouTube. In this show, we talk about what's happening in the markets and how we're trading them. Today is Thursday, August 3rd. Stocks continue their slide. 10-year yields at the highest since November of 2022. The fear in the market, highest since June. All eyes on jobs. Qualcomm gets hammered. Apple and Amazon reporting after the bell. We'll take a look and do a little earnings analysis on Amazon. Plus, what's next for PNC? And should I be worried about CSIQ? As you can see, there's a lot to talk about. So let's go ahead and get started. If this is your first time here, my name is Mark Hodge. And I'm head coach at Rockwell Trading. Today, I'm running the show solo. So we'll call it Coffee with Mark. If you've been following us for a while, you know that I still make sure that you're in good hands. You could say we have a ton of trading experience here at Rockwell Trading. We know our stuff. We're not afraid to tell it like it is. And if you're looking for some honest insight into the world of trading, then you are definitely at the right place. Now, before I dive in and talk about a few trades that I'm in and how we're tackling these crazy markets, let's see what's moving the markets today. Let me go ahead and share my screen. Here we have a chart of the S&P 500. And we see here that right now, S&P looks like it's going to be down for the third day in a row. Still a lot of trading left, so we'll see where things are at the end of the day. But I drew this trend line talking with the Mastermind group and just saying that with the pace that we were rallying over the last couple of months, we were due for a decent pullback. I thought that a move to 4,500 was totally warranted. Maybe even a drop down to 4,400. That puts us back at the 50-day moving average and gives us a little bit of a shakeout here. Right now, trading just below 4,500. So we'll see if this is where we stop or if there is even more of a sell-off. This sparked by news, and I mean, this is where it looks like there's really just a little profit taking here. I know that we were down yesterday. We finished lower by 1.4%. So one of the bigger drops that we've seen recently, but it just felt like there wasn't this panic sparked by Fitch's downgrade. And we know that, yeah, okay, that's a reason to take some profits, kind of deflate some air out of the balloon and just rather than going crazy, let's take a little profit, have a reason for the markets to pull back a little bit. But all in all, I don't think that news from Fitch is a huge concern for investors. Even Warren Buffett, he shrugged it off, saying that it doesn't change anything with what Berkshire Hathaway is doing at the moment, and that Berkshire bought $10 billion in U.S. Treasuries last Monday, and the only question is whether to buy $10 billion more in 3-month or 6-month bonds. So he's not worried about the full faith and credit of the United States and that downgrade. I feel the same way. In fact, this has me interested in what can we find to trade, right? With things elevated, there were some slow periods with the style of trading that I do, which is okay because I know that there are shifts and cycles in the markets. And by having buying power available, it makes it a lot of fun when others are freaking out and we're just cleaning up, being greedy when others are fearful. Great Buffett quote. So yeah, this pullback opened the door to some opportunities. We'll talk about it. And I wouldn't mind a little bit more, although it looks like we're pausing today. If we look at the S&P 500 and we look at a 5-minute chart, after the gap down, we rallied a little bit. We pulled back, made session lows. We're rallying a bit again. So we're kind of in this range rather than an accelerated move lower, at least for now. And it looks like the market's trying to get back up to session highs. Maybe another attempt at a gap fill there. But hey, below 4,500 and the third consecutive day lower for the S&P. The Dow, looking at its second day lower, down 101 points right now, which is only 0.3%. The NASDAQ actually making a little more ground after the gap lower, down just 0.1% right now. NASDAQ looking a little better. compared to the other two major indices. But all in all, not a whole lot of movement. Although with this drop comes some uncertainty, and we see that the fear index is up for the third day in a row as well. A big jump yesterday. Today, with the continuation of that move lower, getting back to levels that we hadn't seen since June 1st. So what does this mean? Well, we know that the markets aren't going to be complacent with low volatility forever. We know that we're going to get these spikes. And right now, this looking this being good for option sellers, right? Because this is based on the S&P 500 and option premium. And so when there's low volatility and traders are expecting smaller price movement in the market, you're going to have a lower VIX reading. When there's higher volatility and traders are pricing in more movement potential into those S&P 500 options, you're going to have a higher VIX. And so right now, I'll take this. I'm a fan of this as an options seller. Now, we could take a look at the PowerX optimizer and look at the heat map here, see what's going on overall. When we pull up the S&P 500, a decent amount of red here. So even though we're trying to claw our way back, get to positive territory, we see that overall, it seems like a mixed to down day. There is a little green in energy. NVIDIA higher, Netflix higher, but the big seven, Microsoft up 0.25%, Apple down 0.4%, NVIDIA up 1.2%, Google flat, Meta flat, Amazon up 0.25%, Tesla up 0.9%. So a couple of names making some moves, but for the most part, flat or slightly lower. A lot of red in real estate right now. Real estate taking a little bit of a hit, and utilities also in the red today. Now, if we look at the economic calendar, we see that this morning we had a couple of reports, but the red flag report we see is unemployment claims. So unemployment claims coming in at 227,000. This represents first-time filers of unemployment in the U.S. The forecast was 226. Last week was 221. So edging up just a little bit, not enough to really move the market. I think that this was, a nothing report here, not that big of a deal. ISM services PMI coming out at 10, but tomorrow, jobs. Jobs is the focus, as well as earnings from some big players. Let's go to our earnings analysis tool and let's look at the calendar. Here we see that today, after the bell, we have Apple and we have Amazon, two biggies. So Mondays and Fridays are always quiet for earnings. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the biggest days for earnings. And we know that about a third of the S&P 500 reporting earnings this week. In fact, today, the 79% of the S&P 500 has reported, with 82% beating expectations. That's according to FactSet. So we still have a few big names today after the bell, Apple and Amazon going to be closely watched. Let's come back to Amazon in a little bit, but before we talk more about Amazon, let's look at a few market movers. And I want to bring up Qualcomm. Qualcomm reported earnings and getting hammered today. So there we go. Now we're up to date. So Qualcomm, they had disappointing revenue for the quarter, lighter than expected guidance for the current period. They adjusted their earnings for the recent quarter. Their revenue came in worse. Also, they said that their handset chip sales declined 25% from a year ago. Deutsche Bank, Marcus, let me know if that was good or not, downgraded the chip maker to hold from a buy rating and also cut its price target because of smartphone market pressure. Yeah, I mean, this is a nasty move for anybody that owns Qualcomm. Might be the door opening for someone who's interested in owning Qualcomm. Right now, we see the 111 strike available. So 111, here we see that for tomorrow, just a one-day trade, that would represent 37% annualized if you're able to get 37 cents. If we go out to next Friday, you get $1.04. You're still at 37% annualized, collecting $104 for every put sold. I like a little bit lower here strike-wise. In fact, this morning, the 108 it was the 108 that first popped up. And with that volatility, when there's indecision, trying to figure out where the heck do we go from here, you have volatility rush. And then once things start to stabilize, you have volatility crush, because now there isn't as much panic or fear. And that was a perfect case study in the first 10 minutes of trading for Qualcomm, where the 108 was available. And next thing you know, it was up to 110, 111. We'll see, though. We're making session lows here at 115, 13. I mark this as a maybe because numbers-wise, pays a decent dividend, low PE. The earnings, net income have been good, even though there are some current concerns about the recent quarter and maybe guidance. But I see better support in the 104, 107, 108 range rather than at 111. So I did not take this trade, but I think it's something worth keeping an eye on if you're interested in getting into Qualcomm. Now, a few other market movers here. PayPal also taking a little bit of a nasty dip here. For anybody that owns PayPal, this one is a tough one. To me, I can't really explain just why we're trading so low. I mean, PayPal owns Venmo. Venmo is super popular, especially with the younger crowd. And coming down, their PE ratio is now at a much better level than it was a year ago. If we look at the income statement, you see quarterly, 4 out of 5 quarters positive. Annual, last 5 years have been positive. And so I'm not an expert on PayPal. I've not spent really much time at all looking into PayPal. I just know what PayPal does. And although they got knocked off their high horse here, and that was expected because those high PE ratio stocks were just after the post-pandemic run-up and going into 2021, that was, you know, to be expected. This thing has just gotten hammered. And these ranges make sense to me, but this continued getting beaten up, gosh, rough one for anybody that holds PayPal. Because I don't understand this move and just why they're still having a hard time, it's not something that I want to trade. But 60, 62-ish range would be something that you might consider with support. And if you like PayPal, there could be an opportunity here. Down 12% today. So, earnings play possibility, but I just have a hard time putting my finger on where this one should be and whether or not it makes sense to own it at this point in time. Let's take a look at another one. We could take a look at Dash reporting earnings, and actually on the opposite side of things, up 3.3%. They reported earnings results that came in better than estimates. They also reported its best ever quarter for revenue and total orders. They said that management had improvements in expense management, so getting some expenses under control. And Dash has had a pretty nice run-up this year after another one that had a pretty significant fall from grace from the end of 2021 through 2022. And now making a little bit of a move. So there you go, DoorDash. Now, what are we going to do with PNC? PNC. Let's look at PNC Financial Services Group. I sold the 137. I actually rolled my 136 expiring last Friday to the 137 for this week. Got a $1 credit on that trade, and the potential to make some money if the stock would continue to increase. That just wasn't the case. Today, I was able to buy those 137 calls back for 10 cents, which was 90% of the max profit that I could make on the trade. So, yeah, I own shares. My cost basis is 136. my break even now with buying those back is going to be a little bit lower here, below 131.86 now. So my break even's about 131. I'm still feeling good about this one. We're in this range. We've been down last three sessions, just like the broad market. Not concerned about this one, but what I want to see now is another move back up towards these highs. We found some resistance around 137. I would love to be able to sell the 137 call again. I could sell the 136 if there's some nice premium there. I am looking to be a call seller, but as a rule of thumb, sell puts on down days, sell calls on up days. Right now, PNC down 0.8%. So ideally, I'd like to see it turn a little bit and go positive and then consider selling calls. CSIQ, another trade that both Marcus and I are in. We have sold puts expiring tomorrow. We sold the 35 puts, got some nice credit there when CSIQ was trading around $36 a share, $36.50. We sold the 35 for 40 cents. Right now, this is in the money. Should I be worried? No. I am okay owning shares of CSIQ. We see that they don't pay a dividend, but the PE ratio is 7.98. Annual profits, they have slim profit margins, but they're a profitable solar company. Annually, they have five consecutive years of net income. The last five consecutive quarters of net income. So in my opinion, they're pretty stable, and it's just a matter of, you know, where we go from here. But I see some nice support around 35, 36. It looks like it's holding right now. And even if we fall here, it looks like there's some nice support around 29, 30, which, yeah, would be a little bit of a drop, but not an unreasonable drop. Like, you know, what I want to avoid is a wheel stock, something crazy that can fall 50% or more. Falling 10%, no big deal. Falling 20%, no big deal. I'm willing to manage the trade. And I know that typically we see that if we get into a trade and we get assigned and it falls, it's down about 5 to 10%. Not a big deal. And if it's down less than 5%, that's usually where we could sell calls depending on the volatility. But that is the sweet spot. That's what I'm after. We also know that getting assigned is when we start to make more money, because we can sell calls that are at the money or even slightly out of the money, make some money on the stock. And that's where the profits really start to kick in. But it comes down to owning a stock that makes sense and also owning a stock at a strike price that makes sense. When I look at CSIQ, 35 makes sense. So that's it for me. We did take another trade today, but I'm going to save that for tomorrow. What I am going to do, though, is I'm going to go to earnings analysis and let's take a look at Amazon, because we know that Amazon is reporting after the bell. 25 notable companies reporting: Apple, Amazon, Amgen, Bookings, Stryker, Gilead, Airbnb, EOG Resources, Monster Beverage, Motorola. What else do we have here? Well, you get the idea. We have earnings after the bell. Amazon and Apple are the two that everybody's going to be keeping an eye on. Let's look at Amazon, though. So based on the last 12 quarters, what's going to happen? We don't know, but we could use past data to have an idea of what's happened in the past to have a little better edge going into earnings. And with what I see here, Amazon's going to report better than expected earnings. Is that a sure thing? No. But at least based on how they typically run their company, they tend to beat on earnings. 9 out of the last 12 quarters, beating expectations. We'll see if it happens again, but that is the trend there. The overnight price reaction, a little bit mixed here. 5 times up, 7 times down, up 6.3% when there's a positive reaction, down 6.2% when there's a negative reaction. So a little bit mixed, but potentially down with that reaction. And then on the 7th day, this is where not only do we see that 8 out of 12 times Amazon is lower in spite of an earnings beat and in spite of the overnight reaction, and on average down 9.9% on those times that it's lower versus being up 7.5% on those move higher. So looking at the expected move, 68% chance Amazon will stay between 137.41 and 120.41. That represents an $8.50 move to the upside or downside. That based on options prices. And we will see. But if I'm to guess, based on what's happened in the past, Amazon beats earnings, I say a coin toss on the reaction, but then down over the next 7 days. We'll see if that happens to be the case. If I was holding Amazon and I had made money on my wheel trade and I had an opportunity to move on, this is where I feel like the benefits to holding would be minimal compared to just taking profits and moving on and not being exposed to the risk. And that's really how I would use this tool, being in trades, managing positions, making a more calculated decision on whether or not the risk of holding is in your best interest or not, or if it's better to just move on and reassess after earnings. Hope this coffee with Mark helped. Looking forward to more opportunities this week. We'll see if jobs moves the market or some of these big names reporting earnings after the bell. Looking for another exciting trading session tomorrow. We'll be back here. Then if you like the video, please give it a thumbs up. Give it a like. If you're new, please subscribe. And we'll see you back here tomorrow. Until then, happy trading, everybody.